Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong, yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eli Hoshotara. I am your host for this week. So we're going to talk about something that's really come up that's interesting. I've seen this for a long time. And it's one of the things, you know, that you see these questions out there about, like, how do you tell a true practitioner versus someone who's willing to smoke up your ass? You know, how do you tell the difference between, you know, what is actually true versus, you know, somebody blowing smoke up your ass? And these are really good questions because, you know, I remember during the starting journey, and, you know, even though if somebody does a modality, even if you're more advanced, if somebody does a modality that you don't do, you know, it can be pretty easy still for people to be like, you know, oh, this is the way it works. And, you know, I mean, if they sound convincing, really, you're not always going to be able to tell. So, you know, like, what are your sort of qualifiers? Well, number one, they got really shitty energy. You know, and here's the thing, like, when you see, you know, people want the results, especially here in North America, people really, really want the results, but not a lot of people want to work for them. You know, and sometimes this is because, you know, people just go out and act out in the world with a very large sense of entitlement. Other people have been very traumatized and it's too hard for them to figure out how to do the work they think. So instead of sitting down and actually doing it in ways that they may need some help with to learn where their starting points are, and that I can help you with. But when some people, you know, they don't know what the answers are, they kind of like say they're doing things or say they're a certain way because they don't want to be left behind. And the danger of that is, you know, you can fool some people. You can look like a liar for some other people. It will not actually get you where you need to go. And it can really, you know, cause the energy to go off in the person. If you've ever seen, and I'm not saying that, like, I don't mean to be unkind here, but, you know, sometimes you've seen people who are, you know, are big fat liars. Like, you know, sorry, not fat as in, but you get what I mean. old saying that should be eradicated. My apologies for that one. But you get people who, like, they lie their asses off, and they think the answer is to keep on lying their asses off even when they've been caught. And, you know, this planet, this plane really rewards self-responsibility. And it is really, really, really fucking hard on a lack of personal responsibility. Like, extremely hard, like, brutal in some cases. There's not really, if you want to thrive and have a super happy life, there's not tons and tons of room for a lot of really bad decisions. There just isn't. And when you get people who try to shortcut things, and I've said this in the past, you can either shortcut it and you can lie like crazy, and the people that don't know the difference that you're probably not going to want to hang out with are probably going to buy it, and other people are more likely to actually just stay away because it turns the energy. You really can't get away with lying on this plane very well. I know some of you have really seen some people where it's like, that doesn't like seem like it's true. And I've seen some liars myself who, you know, it looks like they're getting away with it, right? Because, you know, they're like really big con artists, for example, it looks like they're getting away with it. Well, eventually people piss off the wrong person, or they're consistently worried about, you know, being uncovered. And that's a stressful thing because, you know, if you're a con artist, you're going to have somebody who's going to send you to jail at some point. It's kind of pretty much, you know, inevitable. Or you've got like crime syndicates where, you know, there's always going to be a price on somebody's head. Whatever it is, there's always going to be something, be in fear of their lives, fear of jail, you know, fear of being found out, public shaming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that doesn't go away just because it looks like they're getting away with it. And even when you've got people who are very brilliant at it, such as large con artists, just because they're getting away, it looks like it, it doesn't really mean they're getting away with as much as you think. And, you know, while some people will sort of like, you know, lie, and maybe you don't know the difference, as you do your work, that becomes clearer and clearer and clearer, even if you don't know much about their modality. So, for example, if I get somebody who sounds like they know what they're talking about and they've got really stinky, stinky energy, and that happens, you know, maybe they know what they're talking about because, you know, anybody can memorize a book. And I've seen a lot of people with really, really horrible energy that are really, really great at memorizing books or other things, and they twist them around to use against other people, which is, again, twisting shit around to use it against people is another thing that will stinkify the energy. So you can see people where, you know, they sound like they know what they're talking about, but you're still not going to have anything to do with them, provided you're advanced enough. And why is that going to work that way? Because, I mean, you could sit there and hold your nose, and, you know, for me, when people are really, really in discord, I mean, it smells like standing on a garbage dump. Like, literally, it's like, you know, hot August day. It reeks. I'm not going to hang out with that person because it's just going to be too comfortable. Now, does it mean that they may or may not have a point? Yeah. Does it mean that I'm going to completely and absolutely avoid everything they've ever said if I come across it on my own? No. Does it mean I'm going to rush out and go take the advice of the person with the really stinky energy? No. Why? Because I've got enough on my plate. I've got enough things that I could check out that I trust that are going to get me somewhere, as opposed to following around a bunch of dead leads. And the way that they're saying it may not even make sense or work, because when people twist things around, they'll take teachings and they'll twist them around to use them to sort of like justify the nonsense that they have. So whether it actually works that way or not, I don't know. And other people do this too. But in the beginning, if people don't have stuff under their belt, you know, they think that the way is to pretend. But you can either practice, and unfortunately, one really big self-development company up here in North America used to really promote that. And the problem with pretending is, you know, there's pretending where you're not trying to fool anybody and you're not trying to lie your ass off and you're not trying to scam people. But there are times when, you know, pretending does end up like that. There are other periods of time, thank goodness, where, you know, you're pretending. But I don't like the word pretending because it still has a negative lying sort of connotation to it sometimes. You know, kids aren't lying when they pretend. But as adults, you got to really watch out for that. The wording of it can really sink you. And you can either do that, you can either do the lying, you can get lost in pretending, or you can just practice. And, you know, practicing is figuring out what it looks like. What would it look like if I was actually happy today? What would it look like if I had peace today? But in the very least, practicing as opposed to lying ass off is not going to have the twisting of the energy, because you can honestly practice, because everybody's got to practice, right? It doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, you're not lying your ass off for practicing riding a bike. You are practicing riding a bike. And that can actually be clean energy because you're actually practicing. And you're not trying to fool anybody, but it's just, you know, like you're seeing what it looks like, because you're going to need to learn how to do that. And as you do it, and you get the other help that you need, either through coaching or sometimes for people it's therapy, for some people it's self-development, for some people it's all three. And if people have been stuck for 20 years, I would really, really, really suggest all three. If you've been stuck for 10 years and you've been doing the self-development, I would really suggest all three, because there's a lot of different breakthroughs that can happen. But when you do the practice, there is something very good about and very wonderful about the energy of people who go and they figure things out. Very, very beautiful energy, and they're strong, and they learn how to develop resources. Because the more that you actually figure stuff out, the more you start to figure out like where the good things are, what's actually going to work for you. And that actually builds a very, very desirable energy in the person. If you've ever met somebody who's constantly like trying out new things, you know, they're figuring things out. If they're maybe not the good at it, they're stuck in their mind a little bit. They're not following through. The energy maybe not be quite the best. In fact, in some cases, people can annoy you. But it's because there's other factors in there. But if you know somebody who's very successful, on the other hand, at a wide range of different things you're dealing with, provided the energy is clean because they're not lying their asses off and they didn't just, you know, take the certificate but not actually do the work. If you've got the people who've actually figured things out in enough different areas, they're very wonderful to be around. Like, they're very, very charming. And so you can either go for that energy, which is... when you're finding out things of how to do in your life, you can go for the super charming energy by either lying your ass off and trying to like suck up to people or blow smoke up people's asses. And I mean, some people are so desperate for compliments, they will buy into it. I mean, let's be in reality here, but it'll turn off the people that you actually want to hang out with, i.e. the people that aren't trying to twist shit around so badly that they're demanding that you blow smoke up their ass because it's the only way that they're going to feel like they're okay. You're going to get, because you can either, and I said this in past shows, you can either accommodate the healthy serving people and behaviors, or you can accommodate the lower vibrational people and the unskilled stuff where, you know, where it gets so unskilled that people start lashing out and causing you trouble and toxicity and abuse. So you can take your pick on which one you want to do, but actually figuring things out by actually learning how to do things is always going to add more into your energy, whereas lying about these things will always wreck your energy. And when you're looking at other people, you know, how do you tell about other people? You're not going to be able to tell with every single person all of the time, especially if you've got somebody who has not really done their work, but they're lying and saying that they have. That kind of person is going to have a very hard time telling who's actually done their work versus not. In some cases, you know, they could still tell maybe they like somebody, but the more that you actually do the work yourself, there's a bunch of different factors in there that you're not going to get that actually help you self-protect against people who are lying their butts off. And when you actually do the work, these things come out more and more and more. So, you know, people think it's a self-protection sometimes to lie to make themselves look good in public, but you can either practice or you can lie. And again, the practicing eventually will, you know, in the beginning, it may not feel like it builds up your energy, but it does eventually. And at least you're not switching your energy into more of a discord, because when you get those weird off feelings about people or you get really grossed out by people, one of the reasons, now this is different if somebody's got issues with like their nervous system from a lot of trauma, that will get skewed. We got to be in reality of that as well. People can get very triggered by things and really hate people, but it doesn't mean that people are bad. You know, somebody could be very triggered and hate somebody based on the perfume because, you know, their grandmother wore the perfume and the grandmother was really mean to them. Doesn't mean the person who wore the perfume is really mean, but for somebody who's had a lot of trauma, they may still take it out on somebody who's wearing the same kind of perfume. So I'm not going to say like this is 100%. It really depends on the level of resolution or lack of trauma that somebody's had. But you do get those points where it'll just feel kind of gross to hang out with them. And the more that you work on yourself and actually do your work, the more when people are out of reality, the more off that that's going to feel. And the reason that people don't feel it is because you have to have a certain amount of practice under your belt, including healing for people who've been traumatized. You've got to have enough of that under your belt to be able to see through it. And, you know, like, how do you know this is real? Well, you've all met somebody. I don't care what your skill set level is. You can take somebody with a skill, like a really, really low skill set level, and they're still going to have run into somebody where they're lying, where the other person is lying their fucking asses off, and they don't want to be around them because the energy is just like, oh my God, it's so gross, it's disgusting. How do you hang out with that person? You know, unless somebody's really got Like, say, other issues that affect feelings, pretty much every single person on the planet who is over 12 years old and even younger than that is going to have had an experience where they can feel where the line is just so off that they just want to, like, the person is so out of reality, they're just going to want to stay away from the person. Almost every single person on the planet has had that experience. And if you've seen that, and you've seen somebody who keeps going with it, even though you're telling them, like, seriously, dude, that's not serving you. Really, that feels really gross. And they keep going with it and going with it and going with it. In some cases, you actually have somebody who just doesn't understand the side effects of it because they're so busy using those lesser behaviors that they really can't, you know, they may not be able to feel the effects. And if that sounds a little bit hard to understand, you've probably all met somebody, you know, and you're going to have this. Other people are going to have this. This is not a judgment thing. It's just a natural side effect. If you're dealing with higher people than yourself, they're going to be able to pick out things, higher skill set. If you're dealing with people who have a higher skill set than you, they're going to be able to pick out different things in you than you're going to be able to pick out in yourself, which is why you go for coaching and therapists, right? Or self-development, because somebody sees something and they have a key so that you can develop that too, ideally. And you've also had the experience where you've seen somebody who's, you know, really, you know, out of, it may be the same experience, maybe a different experience, but you've all had the experience where you see somebody and you're warning them that they should really stay away from the other person, and they just don't get it. And they're like, well, it's really not that bad. And it's like, do they not understand, like, exactly, like, how detrimental this is? And you can see, like, how much problems it causes them in their life, but they don't get it. Because if you're not developed in that area, you're going to have blind spots. And when people have not self-developed themselves, they're going to have blind spots. And if people have too much of a blind spot, they're going to have blind spots in dealing with unserving behavior if they have not learned these things already about how to do things in a certain healthy, proper way. They're not going to be able to tell when other people are making a mistake. And I've mentioned this before with math. people don't know math at all. So if you say, like, what is 3 divided by 3? They're not going to know. Like, it, and it's a really, really simple math equation. But some people are really not going to know what that is, like, at all, because they just don't have the experience. So if, you know, they're needing places where they do need math, such as, you know, accounting systems, et cetera, you're going to have somebody who's going to really be screwed in something or be easily taken advantage of because they don't know math enough to be able to safeguard their business. So the higher that we go, the better that somebody is at math. Well, then it becomes easier and easier and easier, especially if they know how to work computer programs, to start understanding where they're being shystered in their accounting and where they're having money stolen from. Now, for somebody, like, you know, if they don't know what 3 divided by 3 is, and they've got different names for that kind of math now, but if they don't know what that, like, how to work that, they're not going to really be able to protect themselves. Now, you know, maybe they can catch somebody stealing, but that's a pretty rare occurrence. You usually need things like cameras and all those sorts of things, or know how to read your books if you've got a business. So, and it's the same sort of thing. If you want to be able to catch other people's mistakes to protect yourself, you have to know how to do it in the beginning, whether it's math or whether it's your self-development. And, you know, that doesn't go away, but people try to. And anytime, you know, somebody's, like, faking it, trying to lie their butts off to get somewhere, you're really wasting a really valuable opportunity to, quite frankly, just do your practice. because even if it makes you feel a little bit more prone because you're, you know, practicing instead of lying, the more that the lying happens, the more that you're only going to fool the lower vibrational people. And the people that don't know what they're doing and they're going to lie, they're more likely to lie to you as opposed to actually having the stuff done. And that's when you get into these situations where, especially in codependency, people end up in a lot, when they got a lot of codependency, they keep ending up in situations where people are lying their asses off to them all the time. And, you know, they're crying their hearts out, like, why does this person keep lying to me? Why do I keep feeling like, you know, liars? Because if you can't tell the difference, it's going to screw you over. And the only way you stop being able to, the only way you start being able to tell the difference is to build yourself more and more and more. Now, people say, well, I'm a very honest person, so I should be able to see through lies. And does that help? Yeah. I've seen a lot of liars who think that they're honest, right? So, you know, saying somebody's honest doesn't mean they're honest. Like, somebody's twisting things around to make themselves look like the victim. That's not honesty. That will screw you over in being able to pick it out in other people. The only thing you can do really is to be really honest. And if you've got people, and sometimes this happens, sometimes, you know, you've done something and it's not a big deal, but you've got somebody who's really going to be a really huge nightmare on it. Sometimes you have to fess up anyways, because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes it's like, you know, you've got somebody who's so toxic and so on the rampage. And it's like, who didn't put the chocolate, you know, the hot chocolate out on the table? They're supposed to be telling, and if they're going to go sit there and bully somebody for like 6 months, you still have to replace the hot chocolate unless somebody did. And if somebody did, then you got to keep it in your mind. Okay, right, we're part of the doing the right thing here is to be considerate of other people. I'll refill the hot chocolate next time if the hot chocolate packets are out or whatever it looks like nowadays. Sorry, I don't work in an office. but for, you know, that's how it used to go anyways in offices. You know, you'd have little hot chocolate packets. And so if you keep in mind to refill it, then the problem is resolved. And it's, you know, not necessarily going to be the most serving thing to get, like, you know, the company bully trying to grind into your whatever for 6 months because you made a mistake, you know, and you didn't understand the protocol or whatever it is. but in other cases, like, say somebody didn't replace it, then you just simply, you know, you when the bully's not around, you replace it, and whatever else. And sometimes, like, you know, if you're busted, then it's like, you know, be honest about it. Yeah, well, I didn't realize that it worked that way. And if they're like, you know, like really grinding in, sometimes people get scared of admitting that thing, that they've done something wrong, because they're scared that people are going to grind in. And it's like, well, why would I be honest about that, Al? Because if you're not honest enough in your life, you're going to end up hanging out with those people and you're not going to understand what it is that they're doing. So it won't actually feel as, like, it'll feel horrible to go through, but you won't understand it and you won't get it to the same degree that, like, or energetically cleanly, you can actually walk away from that person. So maybe that person is mean, maybe it's very uncomfortable to be around them, but if somebody does not have enough honesty to a high enough degree in their life, you know, that's not going to be enough to sort of like cleanly walk away and be able to stay away. Whereas somebody who's got enough honesty in their life and they do this without twisting things around to make it look like they're somehow in the right, because that is one of the keys. If you've got somebody who just honestly goes and does things to the highest level, including their honesty, then as soon as that somebody like starts walking up or whatever, and it's like, you know, and they're like trying to grind out because they discovered, ooh, you didn't replace the hot chocolate. Somebody who's more developed, and this is like, you know, this isn't just one level higher. This is quite a number of levels higher, but you're going to be able to look at that person and just be like, wow, they're really having a cow over the hot chocolate. You know, like, I'm going to go over here now, and you'll walk away, and you'll walk away cleanly because you understand that that's an overreaction to somebody not putting the hot chocolate out. Now, if you haven't done it for a year and you've been really lazy, you know, about it, then of course it's going to make more sense that they're going to be really, really irate. But if you've only done it, like, say, once or twice, you know, then, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, right? But if you've seen, like, for a year and other people are replenishing stock who it isn't job to do that, and, you know, you haven't gotten off your butt, then, of course, you know, they're going to be more likely to be upset and they're going to have more of a reason to be upset. So that will stick with you more. But if you're cleaning yourself, your actions up after small mistakes, and you're being honest about things, then it becomes very easy to say, like, it's hot chocolate, like, I'm going to stay over here, because the amount of abuse, not that it's not worth it, but it doesn't make sense to hang out with somebody who's that abusive over, like, really minor mistakes. And for that person, you know, like, why are they, you know, taking it out on other people? Well, sometimes their experiences are that they've had other people do the same thing to them. So it's not like, you know, walking off and like, ew, that person's gonna, you know, that person's just a bitch or, you know, whatever else. When you understand enough and you're honest about it, you're willing to let the honesty be in, you can actually understand, like, why somebody else would do that. And sometimes you can have compassion for people like that, which doesn't mean you hang out with the people who do it all the time because they think it's a way to get compassion or you should feel sorry for them, because then they're likely not to stop it. They're likely to keep repeating it. But as you grow more and you understand more, you can actually have, like, you can still have affection for somebody who doesn't act the best, but you're going to stay away from them. Because it's not going to be serving, or maybe you'll teach them, and you can manage sometimes, not all the times. Got to watch it with, like, codependency and self-development. It really gets in there where people are like, if you were a good enough person, magically you would take away all their issues and psychiatric problems because you were nice to them in one day, and therefore they will never attack you ever again. Wrong. But you do start to understand, like, how you can work with some people and which people that you can't work with. And it's not that you're going to, like, you know, every single person who pulls the hot chocolate bullying, you're going to hang out with and be best friends with, because it's still not going to be very beneficial. Even if you help them in certain moments, it's still not going to be beneficial for you to be hanging out with them for large periods of time. It's not going to be beneficial for your community to have somebody in there, because somebody's always going to trigger them until they get the help that they need. That's not going to change. But what it does is it helps you to if you're honest about, like, understanding and, like, being honest and understanding where you actually do understand, which is not the codependent version of understanding where you're supposed to bury your head in the sand, otherwise you're not understanding. But it's, like, where you truly get it, why they're acting like it, and you have a little bit of affection in your heart. You can do that, and, you know, you can still understand why, you know, when they get fired, it's still going to be beneficial for them to have gotten fired, but you can still have compassion and humanity towards them. And then that means, like, if you're at that level, what happens is, you know, you're less affected by even negative behaviors, which, again, unfortunately, you're going to get some codependent people who are like, yes, immediately they're going to use that as an excuse to go hang out with a bunch of really toxic people, and they're going to get burned again, because this is not something that you're going to be able to do without the true understanding, or at least enough the understanding to not get hurt. So this is not like an excuse to go be codependent, although some people are going to ride that puppy home, unfortunately. I'm just trying to show you and prove to you that there are actually benefits that come as we actually do our work, and they go a lot higher than most people think that they do. And, you know, when people don't believe it, it's usually because they haven't had enough experience of it, number one, but they don't know how to do it properly, and they haven't put enough effort in. Because you can't just, even 6 months, you can put in 6 months of your version of being kind, but if you've been hurt a lot, that kindness is going to have to be changed in how you use it, because it may be a codependent form of kindness. So, like, for example, if somebody thinks that it's being kind to, you know, and they're getting abused and they think that's kindness, that's going to really wear at your soul. You know, because even, like, highly developed people, they're not sitting there taking a bunch of crap all of the time. They may run into situations where somebody's very toxic to deal with, and they'll deal with it, but it doesn't mean they're hanging out with those people in their home lives. And this is a really important distinction to make. You know, at a higher skill set level, you can deal with difficult people when, you know, you interact with them, but it's not going to be every single last one. I really want to be clear about this, because some people are going to be reactive no matter what you do, unless they get to abuse you or other things that are going on. So it's not, you know, it's not this codependent thing, but sometimes people get scared of doing healthy, beneficial actions because they're scared that they have to be codependent and they have to let themselves be hurt. And if you're consistently being toxified by somebody and you think that's being kind, your definition of kind needs to change. And it doesn't mean, you know, sometimes when people think that they're always going to be hurt and that's the way it's going to work, they think, well, okay, I don't have to be kind anymore, and they go out and they act like a jerk to somebody. That's not what it means either. It's not, you know, it's not either you take meanness or they take it. It's that you can actually go out in the world and you can be kind, but kindness doesn't mean you sit there and you put up with a lot of bullshit. It's like, oh, look, somebody very toxic. You know, kindness in that moment, quite frankly, is just not grinding into them. Kindness in that moment is, you know, maybe not telling them exactly, you know, to the nth grossest degree of their very being, you know, exactly what is wrong with them. You know, those are forms of kindness not to do that. Walking away is a kindness because you're not abusing them. Even though they may have a hard time with it, walking away is not abusing somebody. It's not, unless you're doing it to torture somebody, then we're starting to get on the abusive lines. But if you're just, you know, if it just really, you know, if you're walking away from being abused, that is not abusing somebody. If you're pulling crap and then walking away from them and saying, oh, I'm not going to be abused, well, that would be abusive towards them. That would be toxic. Like, let's be clear. But just simply, like, you know, somebody, you know, you brought the wrong kind of donuts to the office party or whatever, and somebody starts yelling at you and screaming and tries to dig into you, you're not being abusive by walking away. And, you know, when people are in those states of thinking they get to yell and abuse people or guilt trip people or manipulate people or get people against them, that's a very hard thing for them to understand. It doesn't change anything. It's just something hard for them to understand, but you do it with cleaning your heart. And, you know, like, well, how do you do that if a bunch of people are, like, really yelling at you over, you know, a donut, and then, you know, red is sitting there, you know, getting green and brown and yellow all against you, and, ah, you know, they're really trying to dig into you. Well, you know, say that happened, somebody whose higher skill set would really have to evaluate, like, oh, you know, why am I working here? You know, and that's the sign that you need to quit. So it's not, you know, and you can walk away kindly by just not saying anything. You just grab your stuff and you go. Or even if you have to put your foot down, putting your foot down is not being unkind. But people in the situations that I've just described, where they expect you to take abuse, they'll consider that unkind, right? and it's not that it's unkind, but the lower you go, the more that, you know, anything other than you putting up with abuse or very toxic behavior looks quote unquote mean. It's not mean, but they don't understand that. And that's part of the reason why they have so many problems. So, you know, the more that you get, the more that you go up, the less your chances are that you're going to have started work at a place like that, unless you're coming in and as a manager position. But even if you're coming in a manager position and you see that many bad people, it's going to tell you that there's something wrong with management. And, you know, you have the choice. Sometimes you may find people workable in that situation. Sometimes you won't. But if you find a lot of really hardcore toxic people, there's a difference between, you know, disorganization in an organization versus toxicity in an organization. And you can make those distinctions and help the people that are very disorganized, and you can understand where things have gone wrong versus people who are very toxic. And at the, you know, and so there's different higher ways to do it that are going to be healthier and more serving. And doing it from that place will help you to see through more of the stuff that just doesn't work. And again, the reason people will tell you that it doesn't work that way is usually because they haven't had the experience, and they don't do it enough to have had the experience, because it is an experience you can gain. I'd love to tell you, okay, ooh, only the highest up chance to people get that. Because, you know, like, once you got it, oh my God, you're a billionaire, woo, instantaneously. You know, but it's something that's available to, like, every single person on the planet, provided they do their work. But people don't understand that. When they don't understand that, then, of course, things start to go sideways. So we have, let's see, we're going to do mailbag today. And we've got Teresa in Bali. And she wants to know if I foresee any blocks for her in her upcoming real estate deal. So one moment here, Teresa in Bali. Okay, one moment here. Hold on, one moment. Okay, so Brightside, it is a deal that can actually be done, so that's really good to know. I am seeing that there will be some blocks. It looks like there's some things that you don't understand about patients are. in terms of like what are going to be the most highest beneficial serving aspects in order for the deal to go through. And so you've got, I see a very, very nice lady, very, very polite, very gentle, very, very like, I'd love to have a conversation and hang out with that lady. She seems really wonderful, but it might appear to you like she's giving you some blocks because she's looking for things to be played at that level. And there will be blocks until some of those things are understood. So the bright side to this is, it looks like a wonderful opportunity to practice, you know, the highest degree possible that you can play at. And, you know, those are always wonderful situations to find because, you know, if you can let your guard down, if you can let the past, you know, upsets, pain, suffering, all that go, you actually have an opportunity to practice in a pretty darn, you know, like, let's see, here's good, great, going up on excellent space with this person. You have like a pretty excellent state opportunity to really practice those like highest serving ideals, place where it's going to actually have value. So, and I do see that without that, I do see blockages. But it is a real deal that can go through. I do see that people do have an ability to sign papers on that. I do see that there is an ability to close the deal, but it is that like highest serving sort of energies that you're really needing to play into the like highest and utmost in order to like make things happen. So, you know, I mean, good luck with that. I really wish you the best. And again, you know, it's really those utmost echelons that you're really trying, you're really looking, and the open heart, not like, as I've just discussed for like 40 minutes here, or close to it. It's really the honesty, right? The honest practice and stuff like that. And the honest, like, oh, putting the guard down and saying like, okay, I know how to do this and stuff like that. If you don't know how to do something, you know, going and looking it up and checking for the next meeting and saying like, well, I have this idea. And if they're like, well, you know, have you implemented this yet? You know, like being honest about it. But if you don't like some of the questions that are going to be up, like, have you implemented this and you're saying no and you're stuck, then it's like, okay, looking up how the real estate deal will go, you know, and then it's like, well, I do see this happening. Well, I have found, I have done research and because you're actually doing the research, and this is the way that it can actually work and we can implement this. And if there's like, well, if there's any hangups, it's like, well, you know, well, I will research that and I will get back to you. And that's going to really be the stuff that gets you through the door. And it does have to be played at that level to make it through. Otherwise, unfortunately, I do see blockages your way, but it is something that you can make it through. Again, just the highest echelons, and you know, congratulations, because not a lot of people find those opportunities to really be able to give. They're kind of rare opportunities. So, I mean, you're definitely got something smiling down on you, sweetheart, for being able to come into that, and it's really, really beautiful. So, congratulations. So we have Astrid, and she wants to know where her best new location for her next move is. She's torn between Virginia and New York, and she's currently in California. Okay, so one moment here. Astrid from California. One moment. One moment here. One moment here. Okay, definitely not Virginia for you, sweetie. Like, definitely 100% not. You're actually doing better in California by a long shot than you would be doing in Virginia. Like, by a long shot. Virginia, I'm seeing you have a much tougher go of it. I'm seeing you definitely not be happy there. I'm, like, seeing some sort of, like, unhappy... I don't like to say depressive because of the connotation that it has, but just for ease of, I guess, melancholy, like not like hardcore, but it's definitely not a place where I would suggest that you go. You'd be better off staying in California, quite frankly, than going to Virginia. So let's see, New York. Okay, so let's see, New York and then versus California, where you are. Okay, so New York, New York's not your best of all time, but it's definitely better for you than California. When you're in New York, for you, New York, sense of wonder there. The nice thing about New York is it's really good about being able to take strength. You know, you can really be strong in New York, and New Yorkers, I mean, they're a very strong bunch. Let's be realistic about that. And I am saying that you do have the ability to really thrive there. You know, the sense of wonder is open in you. And you do have some happy moments in there. Let's see here. You're in New York. You can hold it. I mean, in a year, you can still hold it. I do see it does go down over time. You know, the openness and the happiness doesn't really last. You know, it lasts for, you know, it's better at 6 months than it is at a year. But you're still, like, in a year, you're still doing better than you are in California. But you're really trying hard to hold it together for New York. Let's see here. One moment. See, really, here's the thing. I understand New York, why you would be thinking it's probably going to be a good move for you. Long term, though, the longer that we go in it, because I checked what you're going to be like in New York if you're not holding yourself up with it. And quite frankly, it's not the best. You'd be long term, you'd be better off in California than you would New York. And I'm sorry, because like, I'd really love to be able to give you good news. You know, like, I mean, I love New Yorkers. I love that strength, you know, in the cuisine. And I mean, there's all sorts of amazing things. But I understand in your current position, like, where I'm seeing how you're feeling in California, why you might think it's, like, a good idea to get out of there. Because, quite frankly, it is a good idea for you to get out of California. It's just, unfortunately, long-term, New York's not really going to be the solution. What I do suggest that you do, there's a book, I think it's on Amazon. I've met the author. He's done a reading for me before. He has since passed on. His name is Dan First, and First is spelled F-U-R-S-T, and he's got a book on astrocartography. Now, astrocartography, and I'm probably not explaining this right, I haven't read his book, but he actually did a reading for me on what I'm talking about, which is where you can actually, he can read your horoscope, and he can actually, in person, I don't know what the book entails, but he can actually tell you, based on your horoscope, like, what is that, what are the good places for you to live in, and what places are you going to be able to, they'd be better off not for you to go to. And I have to tell you, he was pretty freaking darn accurate for me, you know, and I got some of the places that I got told, I was like, really, that one? Because all I ever heard about was the mosquitoes for the one. But everybody I meet, and I'm talking about my Winnipeggers, everybody I meet from Winnipeg, I pretty much, like, I love Winnipeggers. Like, I love, love, love Winnipeggers. But if you tell me the name, I'm just not drawn to the idea of it. You know, I don't get like, ooh, I must go there. Like I do with Peru. Peru is another one that's really, really good for me. But I get the like, oh my God, I need to go to Peru. I get, and I've been to Peru. I love Peru. I love Peruvians. But, you know, I don't get the same sort of like feeling off of Winnipeg, but he told me like why it's beneficial for me to go to be in Winnipeg. And I love Winnipeggers. And, you know, it's the nice thing is, you know, you can do this in the privacy of your own home. You can figure out through your horoscope and stuff like that. And the reason I'm telling you my story on it is because just please be open to it. In my experience, like when he did the reading, it did work. So you can check out the book. You know, I've never seen anybody else who does this. I have heard other people talk about it in different forms, in terms of like different places have different energies, and some of them you're going to be compatible with and some of them you're not going to be compatible with. You know, and it's not that like some places are bad or wrong. They're just not beneficial for you. So, you know, if somebody likes to, really likes to call cold, brisk air in the fall in Canada, and, you know, and that makes their heart sing and they feel most alive like that, and they hate the summers. Well, you know, like, hey, don't move to, you know, some some tropical locale, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'd love to be able to enjoy the fall crisp weather, and I do, you know, for a couple of weeks at least. And that's pretty much my limit for the year because I'm meant to be somewhere warmer. But you start to get these ideas, though, like, you know, of what's going to be more beneficial for you and what will work better. And yeah, and then it'll be right at your fingertips. And you can also check, too, like, you know, if you've got their, you know, romantic partners or whatever, it'll start to help you to, like, see what is going to be the best place so, like, you know, everybody can thrive. And he, again, I don't know what his book entails, but when he did the reading for me, he actually gave me a worldwide map on it, which is really, really freaking cool. There was nothing like being in Peru. I met down in Peru, and you know, to have that validated for me when I was having like one of the best times in my life was a really wonderful experience. And I'm hoping that it can offer the same for you. So thank you so much for writing in. And let's see, we have, okay, Spirit One, Lisa in Connecticut. She wants to know what her true purpose is. Okay, so one moment here, Lisa in Connecticut. Oh, I'm seeing teaching. Well, that one came in really easy. Let's see. I'm seeing a classroom, honey. I am seeing a classroom. I'm seeing kids. Let's see about that. So teaching for you is really, it's really, really beneficial. It really helps to feed your soul. Let's see here. It's kind of funny because I'm a little surprised because I'm seeing some frustration with it. but I have to trust what I'm being shown. Let's see here. One moment here. And I'm getting shown it's because it helps you to have your connection and it really helps you to have your purpose. And that's really for you. It is about expanding your heart. I'm really seeing like soul expansion in that. And we all know that sometimes the soul expansions aren't always, you know, sometimes they're a little bit more, they can be a little challenging sometimes. But I'm being shown that it's one of the things that's actually going to help you to connect to source. So, ooh, that's a really big one. Let's see what else. Okay, so what Spirit says sometimes is a little bit different. And, I mean, there's different spiritual things. hold on. I just got to see because this one is a little contrary. Let's see here. So energetically, you're supposed to be working with the students as well, because what I'm seeing is it's showing that you actually have the ability to correct some of the things on their path. Now, I really wanted to clarify this because normally you're not really supposed to interfere. You're supposed to, you know, if people ask for help, then that's when you help them. It's not going and digging in and interfering. But I am seeing that you do have the ability to correct some things in their energy. So, again, you're really going to have to feel on that one and be really careful. You know, we've all seen somebody who's like the great healer and they're like messing in things that, you know, and they're not leaving people alone. So, you know, obviously we need to be careful of that sort of thing too and making sure that we check in. But, yeah, that's really, you know, there's a lot that you can really are going to be able to do for those kids in terms of the classroom and in terms of, like, you know, what you're going to be able to do for them. Oh, hold on here one moment. One moment here. Ooh, that's not good. Okay, nope. Hold on here. One moment. Oh, okay, nope. Scrap the interfering with the students. Okay, let's see here. One moment. I'm just going to do a clearing on you. I got a yes. So I'm just going to do an energetic clearing on you here first. One moment here. And I have to end at 3:55, so this might get cut a little bit short, but one moment here. One moment, still doing it. one moment here. Yeah, okay. I would really suggest in talking to Jane Phillips and getting a really good energetic clearing on there, because something ended up popping up that's not really good. So let's see here. So you really want to make sure to protect but not interfere, and that's really important. And Jane will be able to get into that with you a lot more in terms of like what it is that you should be getting out of your energy, but I'd really suggest calling her for an energetic cleaning like right away. So thank you so much for everybody who wrote in. I wish I had better news, but you know, hey, sometimes things are what they are. So thank you so much. We're here every single week. I'm here every single week. That's area code 646-595-4274. You can go to our website, that's newsforthesoul.com. You can go to my personal website, that's enlightenmentinthecity.com. You can book your coaching or your intuitive reading there. The first coaching session is free. Thank you so much, everybody. Again, I'll be back here at 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I'll see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.